Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Today, we have a very special Roni-centric bonus episode in honor of the return of The Real Housewives of New York City, and it features Danny Pellegrino. So Danny is the host of the podcast Everything Iconic, where he dissects everything pop culture, including lots and lots of Bravo. So we dug deep into the vault and decided to dissect the original Scary Island. And then we also had the opportunity actually to discuss it with someone who witnessed it firsthand, and that is the one and only Sonia Morgan. Hey, Danny.
Hi, Eric. I'm so excited. Megan, hello.
Hello.
I can't wait to chat about all of this.
Oh, can't wait.
So you mentioned that Roni is your favorite franchise, right?
It's not only my favorite franchise, it's my favorite show on TV. I think it is the best drama, the best comedy. I think it's up there in peak TV. When we think of peak TV, it's like, to me, it's Sopranos, Roni.
Amazing. All right, well, why don't we just get into it then?
Okay, guys, so Scary Island is like my favorite of all of these franchise housewives trips. And this spanned three episodes, which at the time was like a big deal. Like the first episode, we get to Scary Island. We're going to be talking more about season 3, episode 12, which is like the middle episode in the Scary Island series. But before we get to episode 12, I just want to like refresh everyone what was going on when we got to the island. So we get there. Before we get there, the whole trip is because Ramona's doing like an anniversary event.
Vow renewal.
Yeah.
Vow renewal, which it wasn't even like a milestone year. It was just like a random year.
It was like 17.
Meanwhile, back in New York, like the girls are on this island, but back in New York, Lou is recording her first single, which I think sometimes goes forgotten that this was happening over the course of the Scary Island trip.
It's so true. I was like reflecting when I was watching these episodes just last night, and I was like, oh my God, I was like, this is the birth of Money Can't Buy You Class.
Money can't buy you class.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Countess speaking. I mean, a moment, and that producer that she was in the studio with.
The producer that had the audacity to compare her to Fergie and Madonna.
Right, in one breath.
The audacity. It was just, it's so good. There's so many things that are now like sort of housewife tropes that were going on over these three episodes. And I mean, even so, we're on the island in the first episode, episode 11 of season 3. We get to the island and so much is happening. They're drinking. Bethany's pregnant at this point. You know, mm-hmm. She was with Jason.
Engaged, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that first episode gave us Turtle Time.
Turtle Time.
Yes.
Turtle Time.
Hooters yacht.
The girls end up on a Hooters yacht. And it's insanity. And to me, what I love most about this whole trip is it feels very organic, but it's still crazy. It's dramatic. Nothing feels set up. Nothing feels, I don't know, even some of the stuff that's going on with Kelly, it just feels like naturally bizarre. Does that make sense?
Totally. Oh,
definitely. And one of my favorite moments too, like speaking of the like authenticity, is when I think it's after their first dinner with Kelly and then they're waiting on the boat. It's just Bethany and Alex. And
yes,
they kind of both just have this really hysterical laughing fit over like, oh my God, like what was she talking about? And it feels just so sincere. Like they're just so hysterically laughing.
Well, and that moment gave us one of the most, in my opinion, underrated quotes of all time, which is Bethany saying, did you go to Columbia the country? Because there's no effing way that broad went to college.
To me, like, this is Bethany at her best.
Yes.
Like, Bethany, when she was pregnant, there was something like she was a little looser with everything. And I know she had been going through a lot at this time. Like her father had just passed, mm-hmm. and she had, of course, a tumultuous relationship with him. And then she was pregnant with her first kid and she was engaged to Jason. So there was like a lot going on in her personal life. But I feel like on the show, she was at her most loose and funniest. And her one-liners in the confessionals just, they just feel so organic and wonderful. And I love Bethany at this time.
Definitely. This is actual zero fucks to give.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at this time, it was all the Bethany versus Jill thing, which yes. Now, I mean, speaking of housewife tropes, I feel like every season of Housewives now, it's like one team, are you team LVP or team Dorit? But this was the first time, I think, within the housewife world where it was a full season of like team Jill or team Bethany. And ultimately, I think most people came out team Bethany for this season. But I feel like that was the start of it, season three.
I mean, in some ways, I'm so glad Jill didn't go on this trip because it gave us the iconic moment we see later of her surprising the girls and being thrown out. But at the same time, oh my God, she must have kicked herself watching these episodes. Like, you missed out on so much quality camera time.
It's so true. She had, like, dinner with Luann, and that's it. Like, that's all her storyline was for these, like, three episodes.
You know, I always think about, you know, Jen Gilbert was, like, kind of a part of this season. Like, she was a friend. But then, ultimately, most of her stuff was seemingly cut. And I always think, like, what if Jen was on the trip instead of Sonia? Because Sonia wasn't, you know, she was new to the show at the time, right, too. So, I mean, the sliding doors world of this could have been very different.
I thought you were going to say the sliding doors that Kelly tries to walk through when she storms out of the lunch and can't really figure it out, because that was also an amazing moment.
Another moment, Eric. Oh, my God, I know.
we're still even talking about the first episode. We haven't even gotten into the good stuff.
I know. We haven't even gotten to the good stuff. Let's get into the good stuff.
Okay.
So this episode, you know, they had already had that wild night out. So this episode starts the next day after Turtle Time. So, you know, they're all maybe like slightly a little bit hungover maybe. And they're just rehashing this wonderful night on the yacht. And there's this obsession with Kelly saying that Bethany's not a chef.
She's a cook.
She's a cook. And
which I feel like is offensive to say even to people who are classified as cooks. Like, I wouldn't say, well, you're a cook.
I mean, I do feel like I somewhat understand what she was saying in that, like, a chef you would consider perhaps someone who is, like, professionally pursuing that as a career. And, like, if you're just cooking, you know, but, like, Bethany kind of was doing catering for a really long time. So it's sort of like, all right, you know.
She worked for Dennis Leary.
Lest we all forget.
Right, right. Fair. Also, okay,
Bethany sort of spends the whole episode trying to prove that she was a chef, too. Like, she's making the salsas later on in the episode. Like, I mean, there's so many. She's really trying to, like, debunk this myth.
She was determined.
Kelly, at the end of it, is just like, I mean, she makes good salad dressing. She could be a Paul Newman if she wanted.
One thing I wanted to talk about with this episode, too, was the photo shoot on the beach.
Oh, that was so uncomfortable.
Johan face. Oh, my God.
I mean, Sonia and Ramona, like, crushed it. Like, they looked so good. And then it's just so uncomfortable to watch Alex try to pose.
And also, when Alex is on screen, they totally change up the music cues. So, like, the background music all of a sudden turns into, like, this, like, weird funhouse, like, Adam's Family kind of, like, score. I also caught something that I hadn't caught. Like, I've seen these episodes probably 1,000 times, like, no joke. And I caught something I had never heard before, where Kelly, before she goes onto the beach to take photos, she's in her confessional, and she's like, I don't even know how to work a camera.
Right. What?
It's like, what? Like, why did you decide to do photos?
It's just a hobby. It's like, you know, something she's exploring.
You know, married to a photographer,
I don't even know how to work a camera. And then I think in her mind, she got a bunch of bags of blow pops and she threw them out on a towel on the beach. And she thought that she was, like, doing, I don't know, craft service for her photo shoot. It was just, like, so so bizarre. I mean, there's a lot of candy references on Scary Island between the blow pops, the gummy bears, the jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about, there's a scene in this episode where Bethany delivers merchandise bags to all the...
Yes.
Well, when you said, like, a lot of tropes started in this trip, that was the one that came to mind.
Yes, the Bethany-centric product.
Because after this, the tote bag became a recurring thing. I mean, Gretchen from OC gave everyone Gretchen Christine products in a tote. So this is the beginning of the end.
Gretchen Christine Butte, lest we never forget. I thought it was thrilling to watch Kelly get this bag, and she seemed to be so offended and angry by this buy this bag. And she just, she lays on the bed, she cries. It's, she's giving me drama. She's giving me, but the weird thing is with Kelly, it didn't feel acting-y to me. It felt like she was very disturbed by this bag.
I agree. We were on a real emotional journey with her getting this tote bag. And it did feel 100% authentic.
Yeah, well, it's funny, too, because she's like, it's so impersonal. And I was like, well, it's embroidered with your initials. So it can't be that impersonal. Like, yes, it's full of, like, Bethany's own products, and okay, sure. But, like, it
she
does have her initials.
She also threw a sunscreen in there.
Right.
I know. Like, it was a nice, who doesn't like to get free stuff? Like, I like to get free stuff. Yeah. You know, I wrote down, she calls Jill up when she gets this, and she's telling Jill about how mad she is at Bethany and how, you know, she's having these nightmares about Bethany. And I wrote down, I just would like you guys to humor me for a minute. I wrote down this monologue because I think it's Shakespeare worthy. Like, it is so good. So Kelly is on the phone with Jill and she says about Bethany. She said, she tries to literally claw your eyes out because she's like, you know what? You're not all that. I'm like, then what am I? I'm sorry, I don't have like double D fake tits in my face. I'm not all that. There's knives on her tongue. I can't imagine Jason kissing her because there's like knives on her tongue. And that is just a portion.
I mean, the visual, like, of the knives on the tongue, like, that
and
is...
And kissing someone.
Yeah,
kissing.
That is poetic and, like, dark.
It's so dark. It's
also
so confusing.
I just want to correct the record in that Bethany had lifts put in her breasts. So they're not double D fake implants. She just got what she naturally has lifted.
Right. And I mean, no,
we don't know boobs.
I don't know if you recall that other wonderful scene from this season where Ramona goes up to Kelly at a luncheon and Ramona says, you know, she comments on Kelly's boobs and she says, Bethany used to say one went this way and one went the other way. So there's like a history of Bethany and Kelly having these war of words with their boobs.
I think I even remember watching that episode, like probably years later, going back and rewatching the season. And I think I Googled Kelly's Playboy shoot to be like, were they weird?
Oh,
well,
now I can't remember.
You can't. Well, now we know what we have homework now.
Yeah. I would be horrified for someone to see my Google history with these women. Like the things that I look up while watching these episodes. You're right.
Totally. That would be your equivalent of like the Sony hack.
Like, what way do Kelly's boobs go? Like, that's right. So then, you know, this whole time, like, Kelly, we saw earlier in the episode, she's talking about the chef and the cook. Also earlier in the episode, she randomly said satchels of gold. So we do hear a lot of like random kind of things out of Kelly's mouth that don't seemingly make sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. The like lemons to lemonade thing, and it's just like backwards.
And I wonder, like, first of all, editing this episode, what it must have been like to sort of navigate those waters, because it is a lot of randomness that doesn't quite fit together. And I think that's why so many people had questions after this episode of what exactly was going on, because it was a bit confusing.
Well, I think that is the question now and forever. What was going on with Kelly during this trip?
Right. But I would like if they did, you know how Bravo has done those like those episodes? They did it with Beverly Hills where it's the dinner party from hell. And
yes,
they kind of did a little bit of a documentary style about the episode.
Yes.
I beg and I plead and I need that so much. I need it about this.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Right. I know you guys have to make that happen.
Right.
Can we also talk about how it cut to Jill working on her ice skating?
Oh, that was, like, honestly hard to watch for me. It was almost as hard to watch as Luann on her date with Corey.
Oh, God.
Yes,
which,
I
by
know.
The way, I've been to Apotheque
where
oh, they
really?
Went.
Oh, my God.
Delicious
how was
cocktails.
It?
It was great.
Did you get the femme fatale?
So femme fatale?
Let's do the femme fatale.
I can't remember what I got, but it's in Chinatown.
Mm. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, don't you guys find that Luann was an entirely different human season 3?
Yes.
Like, I love her now and I loved her then, but she's a different human being from then to now.
I think it would be hard not to be. I mean, all of these women have, they're just in such a different place and they have now so many years of fandom holding them up.
Yes. Yeah. We have to talk about the climactic scene of this episode, of the second Scary Island episode, where they're all at dinner. Bethany is cooking dinner because, of course, she's still trying to prove that she's a chef. And the girls all get together, and they all seemingly are in great spirits. But then the dramatic build of the tension with Kelly just, like, really comes to a head.
Yeah. This is the dinner.
Yeah. I feel like there are moments where you can see Sonia is, like, looking at producers, almost like, is everything okay? You know, like, she seems to be very aware that things are perhaps going a bit off the rails.
It's just, again, like, what was happening? Because you would get glimpses of like, things that make sense. You know, Kelly thinks Bethany's trying to destroy her life. Okay, because things were going on in the tabloids. That makes sense to me. But then saying, Alex, you were wearing kabuki makeup and channeling the devil, doesn't make sense to me.
Right, right. And it seems like she uses whatever her issue with Bethany is to then just start attacking and projecting on everyone else at the table. Yeah. Right. But it doesn't make sense.
But what I find interesting about this dinner is, like, you can't really... they're having some glasses of wine, but no one really seemed drunk to me at all.
I completely agree. And actually, I think Kelly has mentioned... She had mentioned a few times when she's on the show she's not really a drinker.
Right. So it's so confusing then to see this kind of behavior out of seemingly sober people. And even Sonia is maybe a little tipsy, but she's the voice of reason in this whole episode. And I just, you know, I don't know if Sonia was new to the show, so maybe she was trying to navigate these waters. But Kelly is just throwing out things left and right. She said, what about when you attacked my friend Gwyneth? Bethany's like, who? Gwyneth. She's like, Paltrow.
I mean, I will say I also refer to Gwyneth Paltrow as Gwyneth.
And she doesn't appreciate when people attack her. Right. Megan comes to her defense right away.
But then Kelly was also like, and what about Rachel? And it's like, well, who's Rachel?
Rachel. I know. I think she was referring to Rachel from Bravo. I had looked this up. This is something I Googled before.
Who's the stylist. Rachel from Bravo?
The stylist. Why am I
blanking? Zoe? Rachel Zoe?
Rachel Zoe, yeah.
That's amazing if that's true.
That's what I read on Google, so it must be true.
Okay, it must be.
Go ahead.
But there was also a great exchange between Sonia and Bethany that I wrote down that I just want to sort of slide past, or I feel like it's underrated. But Sonia says, I worked in restaurants. And Bethany says, were you a hooker? And then Sonia says, the real hookers are the people who want to come there and see the other famous people.
Oh, so I'm a hooker.
So we're all hookers.
But also Kelly uses that line later to be like, and she called you a hooker, Sonia, and you want me to sit here across from her? And Sonia's like, I think she was kidding.
Right, and this is after Kelly called Bethany a hoe bag the night before. So it's like, okay.
And Kelly, she's getting more and more upset, and then eventually she decides she's going to skip away. She just skips away. She seems like she's got a smile on her face. She runs off, and then she returns with a bag of jelly beans.
Of course.
And I think we all, watching this for the first time, thought this is going to end here. Like, Kelly skipped away, that's it. But she came back with the jelly beans, and it just kept built. It built, like, I would think if you were writing this episode, if you were a dramatic screenwriter, you would write it, you would build to the point where Kelly stormed off. But then what's so great about it and makes it such great TV is that Kelly came back and it escalated further than anyone would have thought was imaginable.
Al Sharpton.
And then, I mean, Bethany says, we all think you need to get help because they're starting to realize something's wrong with her. Bethany says, there's something wrong with you. And Kelly says, yeah, I don't like you. And Bethany says, that's not an illness, which is another perfect Bethany line.
Yeah, there's definitely, this is like the moment where you can tell everyone kind of switches and is like, wait a minute, we need to like rethink our approach to this situation because something is obviously not going well for her.
Yeah, there's just a shift in the dynamics and what everyone is thinking. And that's, I think, part of the lore of this. It's like, what happened next? Because we see the next episode is the sort of coming back from this, but we didn't see Kelly go off the island.
I know. And how did that work? Did production escort her off? You know, like
Well, I think they bring it up in the reunion this season that, like, we get a little more context that, like, production did get involved, whether it was their decision or whether it was Kelly being like, I have to go, and I think a producer goes with her. But, I mean, I think it was, like, there was really no choice for anyone else at that point, production or Kelly. Like, it was time to go.
Yeah, but I feel like if they had filmed this season today in 2019, we would at least have cell phone footage mm-hmm. of what was happening that night.
Right, that's true.
Oh, I need it.
They only had Blackberries back then.
The last moment we got was Bethany yelling, go to sleep. And then it kind of trails off. And it's amazing, but I feel like the cameras didn't just shut off. Like, what was the conversation of, like, we're going to stop filming now?
Eric, I have some news.
Oh boy, I'm scared.
I finally found the perfect fitting bra.
It's about time.
You know, a lot of companies say that they have the best fit, but Third Love truly delivers. With more than 70 sizes, including their famous half cups, Third Love is making comfortable bras for millions of women of all shapes and sizes. They get such a good fit because they have their signature Fit Finder quiz, which helps you identify your breast size and shape and takes less than a minute. And it's not just me, over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. Once you've made your order, every customer has 60 days to wear a bra, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, you can send it back, no questions asked. Third Love will even donate the bra to a woman in need.
I love a company that gives back.
Generally, I hate wearing bras and find them to be totally uncomfortable, but Third Love's was great, the straps didn't bother me at all, and it fit perfectly. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, and right now they're offering our Daily Dish listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/dailydish now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/dailydish for 15% off today.
We open next week, though, with the iconic Jill arriving.
Hi!
Surprise!
And it's like you think that it can't get any better, and then Jill shows up and it's still getting better.
I mean, honestly, the timing could not have been better.
Yeah.
Just as the ladies are like, it's all good, then she comes.
It's perfection. And I think, like, with every housewife trip now, we owe it to Scary Island because that was the first one that delivered.
And we almost got, like, a new Scary Island when we were in Jamaica on Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah. I mean, we've gotten so many other wonderful trips. I just think Scary Island, it, like, tops them all. It was also an interesting time because I feel like the ladies weren't obligated to go to this one. I could be wrong, but that's what Luann and Jill say later on at the reunion this season, is that Kelly shouldn't have gone. But I feel like now maybe the girls have to go on the vacation.
A little more obligated, probably.
Right. Or at least maybe not even obligated, but maybe they know that it's, you know, a big deal to go on these vacations. It's going to be a lot of screen time and that kind of thing.
Totally.
One thing I wanted to point out, too, when Jill shows up is, as you mentioned earlier, Dani, the awkwardness that is Alex and sort of how she reacts to Jill arriving.
Oh,
and she's, like, trembling, like, while getting a pedicure. And you're just like, come on.
I know. Like, I could totally understand everyone's reactions except Alex. I was like, come on.
Yeah, take a deep breath. Like,
yeah, you're
down.
Fine.
There's been enough drama.
And then Ramona's, like, running over, like, embracing her, like, holding her. I'm just like, oh, my God, come on. Come on.
Hi. Like, the high heard around the world. It's, like, such a painful high.
And poor Bobby, who's just, like, paid for this whole trip to happen. And, like, nobody's mad at Bobby. You know, Bethany's sort of like, I'm sorry, like, you did this. But, like, we don't want her here. And Bobby's like, I'm sorry it happened. You know, like, he's just kind of, like, going along with it.
I will say, you know, just to sort of commemorate Bobby and his great personality, there was a moment that I thought was really sweet when Bethany is saying to him, I've always wanted to reach out directly, but look, I don't want to put you in the middle. And he goes, well, I wouldn't be in the middle. Meaning, like, I'm going to have Jill's side 100%, which I thought was so sweet.
Bobby and Jill had an amazing relationship.
Yes.
Rewatching the early seasons, they just truly loved each other and had each other's backs. And yeah, it was a beautiful relationship. I love them. I would actually like Jill back full time. Every time I rewatch old seasons, I miss Jill. I mean, season 1, 2, Jill is truly one of the best housewives we've had. And then season three, this whole Bethany, Jill scenario happened, and it sort of tainted Jill a bit.
Yeah. I mean, season four, she was just a different person altogether.
Right. Right. But I would like to see, I think Jill's in a different place. I'm excited this current upcoming season. I'm excited to see Jill pop in and out a little bit.
Yes, yeah, same.
But what a trip, you guys. I could revisit this trip once a week and still find it thrilling.
I think I definitely rewatch it at least every couple of years. And then right. I always will go straight from Scary Island to the reunion because mm-hmm. I just want to hear them talk about it.
Right.
Kelly always says she had a breakthrough, not a breakdown at the reunion. So I don't know. I think there's still so many questions, though, that we need answered about this whole three-episode arc from, I don't know, producer, somebody needs to release that extra footage.
Well, I think there's someone we could maybe get a little information out of.
We had to bring someone in who survived the experience. So, Danny, we are here with Sonia Morgan.
I'm so excited. Sonia, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We're a little warmed up over here. We've had some pre-convo.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to dive in. So what do you remember most about the Scary Island experience?
Well, you know, that was my inception into the housewives world. And I thought, if this is how they are, wow. Kelly Ben-Simone had me nervous.
Sure. She had us all nervous. Now, she said at the reunion that you guys were, the cast was contractually obligated to go, but then Luann and Jill said that they didn't have to go. So were you, did you have to go on this trip?
Well, no. And if you remember, I was very upset that Dorinda didn't have me in the Berkshires. So, mm-hmm. No, we're not contractually pushed to go.
Sure. Now, I want to ask about those photos.
And remember, Jill came and crashed. So yeah,
that was a pleasant surprise.
That was the high heard around the world.
Yeah.
So those pictures that Kelly took of you on the beach, did you ever see those photos?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My leopard swimsuit when I wore La Perla.
Yes.
Those were the days. 2000 a pop.
Yes. I mean, you all looked amazing in that. I mean, you and Ramona, you were taking your own photos and you looked phenomenal as you do now.
Oh, thank you. Well, we also had Alex McCord in that shoot. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, of course.
And that sort of a spoof, you know, it was like, oh my God, get a hold of yourself, girl. I mean, all need to get a hold of ourselves, but that was particularly funny with Alex.
She looked a little lost.
Yeah.
On the beach.
When's the last time you heard from Alex?
Every once in a while we'll comment on each other's posts, but I think she's happily ensconced in Australia being a mom, and she got her degree in therapy or psychology. I don't want to be misquoting her accolades, and she's married to her husband. I can never remember his name.
Simon. Yes. Now, there was a lot of talk on Scary Island about Bethany, whether or not she was a cook or a chef. And I just wondered, how is Bethany's cooking? Like, what's her food like?
Oh, she's an amazing chef. I don't think anyone ever thought she was a cook. She went to Hyde Park, to the renowned college there. I forget what it's called right now.
So it's good. She's
the Culinary Institute.
Yeah.
You don't come out of that school and call yourself a cook.
Right.
I'm a toaster oven chef.
That's right.
I don't even call myself a cook.
Does Bethany still cook for you guys?
All the time. Yeah. I mean, I love when she cooks for us because it's a real bonding moment when, I lived in Italy for 6 years, so we learned to share our food and it's a very loving thing to do.
Speaking of Scary Island, we see a Go to Sleep recreated coming this season. So can you talk a little bit about that?
That is so funny. I think Bethany put the hex on me because she goes, "Go to Sleep!" And I'm like, I've heard this before. And then it was like Bewitched, like snap the fingers and Sonia dropped. Right to sleep. But I felt like the pony on with the four legs that go out from under, mm-hmm. or, you know, from my riding days, I was totally unscathed. I probably shouldn't give that away. You have to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
So
well, you see it in the trailer. Yeah, I fall right down.
Right.
You know, so after people Story have put Island, it on slow motion so you can watch it.
Did you notice any similar behavior out of Kelly after Scary Island, like the following season, or was it a one-time kind of thing?
Well, there was a lot of going back to it. She had a hard time letting go, which is always a bad sign when you're in reality TV, because we need to move on. We're friends foremost, and we care about each other. So if you're going to be an ensemble cast, how does that work for the viewer? I remember she was very upset about the goodie bags, and she just really couldn't get beyond the one argument. And I love that about this season and last season on Real Housewives, where we are all really good friends and we want the best for each other. We'll vent on each other, we'll use our words, but we don't want to physically harm each other or hurt anybody's business. And when in need, we're there for each other.
Right. Right.
And we've all grown together. You know, we may point out flaws or something we feel someone shouldn't be doing, but we do it because we want to grow. That's what I've noticed over the last, I'd say, three seasons.
Yeah, it's a sisterhood.
It really is a sisterhood. And I feel I've become a lot better by listening to what the girls have to say about myself. Mm. You know, when Bethany had to talk about me not taking care of myself, you know, I pulled back on the drinking. I, you know, focused more on my business instead of just, you know, following the herd, and, you know, put my head down and didn't talk about businesses that I thought I might do until they materialized. You know, and now I do have my fashion collection, my signature, and now I do have my ready to wear and my shoes. And she gave me good advice.
I think it's clear that there's been such a noticeable shift with you in such a beautiful way, and you're so wonderful to watch. So I commend you. I love watching you in any state. It's wonderful.
Well, thanks, Danny. And I have to say, we appreciate your support. I know you're an avid follower, and that you do, you know, push us on social media and retweet. And, you know, we love that.
He's hilarious.
And you're hilarious, which I love.
Thank you. It's my all-time favorite show. Truly, like, I think it's right up there. And Eric and I, we were talking about Scary Island, and I, rewatching it, it's truly some of the best TV I've ever seen. Like, I think there's drama, there's laughs, there's anything you could want in a great television show. So just for entertainment, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, people do go back to that episode over and over.
Well, even, like, on Twitter and Instagram, like, it lives on in meme form and GIFs, like the Ramona getting the Pinot Grigio handed to her, you know, and she's just like, oh, there's so many
moments. Scary Island, it's a hashtag. I wonder how many hits that has.
Sonia, do you have a favorite of all the trips you've been on throughout the years?
Oh, hands down, Mexico, the one Bethany organized. It was just A to Z beautiful, and we got closer to each other. You know, we had meals at home, meals out. We enjoyed the culture, the shopping, and the heart-to-hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a little bit about Alex. Do you keep in touch with any of the other former wives, like Carol or Heather or Jules or any of the other ones?
You know, I'm a bad one. The girls are always teasing me about that. It was actually an issue, I think, last season. You know, even people, I'm not great at keeping up with emails. I'm just terrible. So, well, you know, I went through so much after my divorce and my lawsuit over my movie deal. So right now I'm so happy to be in my smaller apartment, and I'm really flexing my creative juices and focused on my fashion now. So I do have more time for the girls that I, you know, I'm friends with now. So I'm enjoying that. I have more time for Dorinda and for Ramona, and I do a little cabaret with Luann. And that's been great because, you know, I'm the original cabaret-esque girl.
That's true.
So we've been enjoying that. And I'm
Would
setting
you ever
up
go
trips.
On your own tour?
Would I do what?
Would you ever do your own tour similar to how Luann is doing her cabaret show? Would you ever go on tour with your cabaret-esque?
Well, I did the off-Broadway Sex Tips for a Woman mm-hmm. by a Straight Man, and that was very laborious, so I don't know. It's a lot. I did Improv Asylum recently. I like this improv comedy. Mm-hmm. That I really enjoy. So maybe I would do a stint of comedy like that. But the tours are a lot. I'd have to figure out a way to put it together with my fashion collection.
Yeah. And how's the fashion collection going?
Great. We're finally starting to see, you know, we're you know, getting somewhere. It's really solidified.
Is there any chance in the future for the toaster oven? Because I, for one, think it'd be like a great collector's item. Like I think it should be like a, you know, a limited edition, like 100, you know, produce 100 of them and price them high. I would buy one.
Well, I don't like to price a toaster oven high. I like to have them in that sweet spot of $59 to $69. They should last mm-hmm. 5 years and you're good. Toaster ovens for me are one of several things I would have in a kitchen. I like to have a bullet, you know, those things that make those ready-make shakes. And I like a few different things in my kitchen. But it wasn't the way to start my brand. I went to FIT, so I'm really a fashion marketing person. I have an international fashion lifestyle brand. So that's why I had to do my signature collection, and now I have the ready-to-wear and the shoes. So I'm introducing something new this season. I have a unisex perfume. Oh. So it's for men and women, and it's aged. It's a parfum, and I'm very excited to offer something for men, too.
I do wear a Britney Spears unisex fragrance right now, so I think I know what my next one will be.
Well, if you're going to love this fragrance, and it lasts forever. You wake up the next morning with your jewelry and your hair up to here and the perfume still on. And so, yeah, I would like to do some kitchenware eventually. Tabletop and kitchenware. But it has to be in that order. I really pride myself on really building a brand.
Well, you guys, this was thrilling to revisit this. And this I would encourage everyone to rewatch these three episodes. It's season 3, episode 11, 12, and 13. And it's truly some of the greatest TV of all time.
Yes.
And then just skip 14 and go right to the reunion.
Right. People always ask me, they say, where should I jump into Housewives? Like, if I've never watched before. And I always say, like, if you have the time, if you just have like a little bit of time, start with season 2 of Roni. And then if you don't have any time, like, just jump into season 3. I find it the best season of all time.
We want to say thank you to our guests, Danny Pellegrino and Sonia Morgan. And be sure to check out Danny's podcast, Everything Iconic. And you can catch Sonia Morgan on The Real Housewives of New York City, Wednesdays at 9, 8 Central. And make sure you're subscribed to The Daily Dish, because we'll be back with a regularly scheduled episode this Thursday. See you then. And don't forget, go to sleep.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at BravoTV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.